We'll get started here in just a moment. I do want to say I thank you very much for allowing me to be up here this evening. This is all Lenny's fault. He was just absolutely delighted to have me on the schedule. So anyway, we're looking forward to spending a few minutes together and studying a little bit of God's Word. Paul is writing this book. See, I need to push B. Thank you. Okay. Paul is writing this book of Galatians. These people in Galatia, there are a number of congregations there, are fairly new congregations. And Paul spent some time with them, and at the time that Paul was there, they said they were willing to pluck out their eyes because of their faithfulness. They were absolutely enthralled with the idea that they could become Christians and not have to be Jews. But not long after Paul left the Galatians, somebody came in behind him and started distorting the truth. And so Paul is writing this book of Galatians, admonishing them about listening to people who distort the truth. He's surprised and dismayed that it didn't take him very long to drop away from what they had learned when Paul was there. So that is why Paul is basically writing this story, is not only to criticize them for that, but also to exhort them to do better and to be faithful Christians. Fruit of the Spirit tonight, we're going to talk about, actually it's a singular word, but it's made up of 9 different segments. 6 of what we have already studied. Ron Newcomer did a nice job on goodness this morning, which was the number 6. Number 7 is the fruit of the Spirit, and that faithfulness, and that is what we're going to study this evening. So let's look at Galatians 5:22 and 23, if you'd like to read along with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So number 7 of that is faithfulness, and that is the one that we're going to be studying this evening. First, we're going to look at the definition of faithfulness. That's not moving.
Is it the space bar?
I'm sorry?
It's the space bar.
Space bar?
Yeah.
Which one's that?
On the keyboard.
Oh, okay. There we go. Okay. Okay, we're going to take a look first at the definition of faithfulness. Okay, there we go. Second, we're going to look at Bible people who were faithful. And thirdly, we're going to look at how we can be faithful ourselves. We're going at this time to... Okay, it dropped. It went back. What am I doing? Okay, there we go. Okay. We just got through reading this about the goodness of the attitudes that we should enjoy as... Oh, it's going backwards there. Okay. There are many ways to show ourselves faithful. Okay, let's look at ourselves here. There's a number of different ways about faithfulness. Sports teams, for instance. We can be faithful to a sport team. The Ducks did pretty well yesterday. Tested our faith there for a while. But the Ducks did really well. Maybe that's something that you can think about, having faith in your sports team. Perhaps it might be in business. Being a faithful employee, following orders and so forth like that. Can be sometimes a little bit hard to do, but you'll go long ways in business if you are a faithful employee. Perhaps friends. It's really it's exciting to have a friend who is as faithful to you as you can be to them. Lifelong friends, few and far between. But during hard times, they're right there by your side, and it's really a nice thing to have. We as Christians should follow that attribute, of course. As far as commands are concerned, various commands, military, for instance, you have a faithful military man who follows the commands of his superior or the officer set above him. Usually when you do that and you are a faithful member of a military unit, then you have a chance to go far. Perhaps a cause. Right now, boy, there's some causes out there, and it's ripping this country apart. Half the country hates Trump. Half the country loves him. They can't seem to get along for some reason, but everybody is faithful to a particular cause. I won't ask you to hold your hand up and who you're faithful to as far as a political entity is concerned. But it is quite a mess right now. And what about duties? You're assigned duties in your work, in the military, duties in this congregation. We have six deacons in this congregation who do an excellent job. They're assigned duties. They go about doing their duties without any expectation of praise, thank yous, anything like that. They just do the job and go along, and everything quietly gets done. Excellent, excellent job. And we forget about those folks sometimes. There are people in this congregation who, women, who do particular duties. Mary just came in from Texas and had a class yesterday for the women of this congregation. Eileen Sanders and I think it was Vicky, if I remember right, set everything up, quietly went about doing their duties, volunteering for those things. Lee Carter comes in and does the building, along with Linda Carlock. Carol stops in and helps her as well. These people do their duties and don't expect particularly everybody to lay over backwards and thank them. They just quietly go about their duties. It's faithfulness. They show up all the time on a regular basis. The dictionary defines it as one who can be worthy of trust, one who can be relied on. We're going to look at trying to coordinate these things here. For us, faithfulness is a confident attitude toward God, involving commitment to His will for one's life. A personal commitment is in following Christ in obedience to His commands. We have a personal commitment once we become Christians. We put off the old self and we become a new person. And we have given a lifetime commitment to the Lord. And if we expect to have a home with Him in the hereafter, we're going to have to keep that commandments. Okay? Let's look at God's faithfulness to us. In Jeremiah talked in Lamentations about great, he's been lamenting about how terrible Jerusalem is and how bad it has been for Judah. And he's talking about the sins of the country, how it has affected the daily living and the daily lives of the people of Judah. And He says the Lord's loving kindness never ceases, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We have a song that we sing once in a while. I think it's number 23 in our red book. Great is thy faithfulness, O Heavenly Father. Deuteronomy. And I have got my notes here out of order. Deuteronomy 7:9. Okay. Moses is here. He's relating how God delivered them and keeps his faithfulness that he swore to their forefathers. 2 Timothy 2:13. Paul is exhorting Timothy to be strong in the faith. These promises of faithfulness is to us as part of the 1,000 generations, speaking to the Israelites, but reminding them of the promise to Abraham about all nations will be blessed. That is, God says that through all generations, 1,000 generations, he uses both terms, that all nations will be blessed. Psalms 91, oh, I hit Lamentations twice there. Deuteronomy 7:9. Okay. Psalms. Okay. I will get this right next time. Psalms 33:4. All his work is done in faithfulness. Psalms 91:4. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a bulwark and a shield. What it means is security for one who trusts in the Lord or has faithfulness. Psalms 119:9. God's faithfulness continues through all generations. Psalms 86:15 is a prayer of David. It says that God is slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. Let's look at some faithfulness through some of the other people in the Bible that we have heard of. You know, we're not perfect people. We make mistakes. God knows that. God has made provision for that. And all these people in the Old Testament, New Testament, made mistakes. They weren't perfect people. Now, we don't know about some of them. Enoch, for instance, it said he walked with God and God took him. Doesn't say anything about unfaithfulness on his part. I'm sure he made mistakes. But it said he was faithful enough that God took him. Noah got snockered after the flood and got drunk. But said that he built an ark out of faithfulness, never had rain before. And yet he's building this huge boat. He must have been a laughing stock of the world at that particular time. But he did it by faith because God told him what was going to happen. Abraham left his country, Ur of Chaldees, and moved to a land he didn't know even where it was. God directed him to that. He didn't know the purpose of it, but he had faith. And he moved to that land. And he was made all these promises. Isaac. Out of faith, he was going to offer Isaac. I thought a time or two about that pledge and about my son. But I never carried through on it. But Abraham was ready to carry through on that. He was ready to sacrifice his own son. Sarah, through faith, even though she laughed at first, through faith, even though she was past childbearing, she believed the Lord. Isaac, He's an interesting fellow. Jacob went and stole his brother's birthright. Joseph kind of made a mistake a little bit when he was young, when he kind of lorded it over his brothers because he had a coat of many colors. It got him into trouble. But he went as a slave to Egypt, and the Lord took care of him there all of his life because he was a faithful person. We can go through and we can talk about these people. Moses rejected the prince, was a prince of Egypt, rejected all those riches and glory and gave it all up out of faith in the Lord. Joshua, Samuel, David. David committed murder, and yet he was considered a faithful servant of the Lord. Josiah, kind of an unusual young man. He was 8 years old when he became king. And when he was 12, he started searching for the Lord and started cleaning up the country. Rahab the harlot, she was a prostitute, and yet she was in a direct lineage of Christ. And she hid the spies because she knew that the children of Israel had defeated everybody in their way. Even though they weren't the strongest, they defeated everybody. And so out of faith, she hid these men and became a direct descendant of Christ. Ruth the same way. She was a Moabitess. And yet we're studying Ruth right now with Lenny. Ruth was faithful to her mother-in-law and was willing to suffer the ills that her mother-in-law suffered, and left her mother, her own mother and father, and went to Israel, to Judah, Bethlehem, actually, and lived with her. Lydia, seller of purple, she was sitting by a well or a creek, little river. Paul came along and taught her the truth, and took him to her house, and she and her family were baptized. Onesimus, kind of an interesting fellow too. He was a slave. Thing about it was I think Paul knew him because Paul had baptized Philemon's household, and Onesimus was part of that household. I think that Paul met him, and then when Onesimus disappeared and deserted his owner hundreds and hundreds of miles away, who does he run into? He runs into Paul in Rome, and Paul converts him. He becomes a very, very faithful Christian. We hear other stories about Onesimus in the Bible. But in Philemon, how he went back, that had to be a tough road to travel and going back to Philemon, not knowing what his fate was going to be. Timothy, Paul's son, by faith, Paul taught him. Timothy's mother and father, or mother and grandmother, and others, all these people in the Bible, and we read about this in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, all described as living by faith. And even though they didn't see the promises that God had made, they died before the promises were coming to fruition. We're going to be in the same way unless the Lord comes before we meet our Maker. We live by faith. And that's what they did. We're blessed to have the Bible, which tells us about these faithful men and women. Through their examples, we can learn and then commit these things to other faithful people. This circle of discipleship is how we spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we are called to do. How can we grow in faithfulness? We can trust God's promises. In Psalms 18:2, we can be one that trusts in God's promises just as David did. And he said, God is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my stronghold, and the horn of my salvation. 1 Kings 8:56, blessed be God who has given Israel all that he has promised. Not one word has failed. We can place our trust in God and believe he will follow through in all his promises just as he's always done. You know, the Bible is just full, is seated with promises of God's faithfulness, the rewards that we will have if we're faithful in him. We need to grow in faithfulness. Well, how do we do that? Sometimes it is a little difficult. We need to be one that believes that Jesus was raised from the dead. In Corinthians 15:13-14, Paul says, if there is no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Without the resurrection of Christ, we are left to endure life alone and make our own way towards our own grave. Can you imagine going to our grave without the hope that's already in us today? With Christ risen, we turn from a doomed existence towards a life of hope, both now and in eternity. We need to be convinced that Jesus is the Messiah and the author of salvation. Christ is called the Messiah by Christians who believe his crucifixion and resurrection fulfills a messianic prophecy in the Old Testament. Hebrews 12:2. Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. We need to allow Jesus to dwell in our hearts through faith. Hebrews 5:9, having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the author of salvation. Hebrews 12:1-3, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Faith is an essential part of the fruit of the Spirit. If we don't have faith, we don't have hope. We need to look at the examples that I mentioned in the Old Testament. Follow the examples that they made. They weren't perfect people, just as I said before. They made mistakes, and we're going to make mistakes from time to time. But as we study more of God's Word, I think our faith will grow accordingly. God has made an offer, a covenant, that he is not able to break. And that covenant is the Christ. We have Christ to look forward, to look towards as the perfecter of our faith, that we can go from day to day, share our faith with others, be always ready to give an answer to the faith that we show. It says with gentleness and with reverence. So hopefully we'll go out of this building tonight and we'll show reverence for God, for the Christ that died for us, for the opportunities that we have to spread the faith that we have in God. People are going to ask us. We need to be ready to give an answer for the faith that is growing from day to day in us. Going to be a little bit early. It's 15 after 6. I'm sorry that we don't have another 15 minutes. I told Jerry if he would lock the doors, not let anybody out, it would be great. But we're going to offer an invitation at this particular time. It's always, we always have an opportunity each and every service that we have to make our shortcomings known, our needs known. If you're not a Christian, you may not have an opportunity tomorrow. It may be gone. God's promised us today, that's it. So you might look at that very, very seriously. If you have faith, all you have to do is be baptized into the kingdom. Publicly announce that Christ is the author of salvation, that you believe wholeheartedly in Him, and that you're not going to do your sins anymore, that you're going to arise out of baptism pure and simple. If you're a Christian and you have some things you want to ask forgiveness for, encouragement for, anything like that, let us know as we go ahead and sing this.